You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we move on to more concerning matters. We usually do this on a Wednesday as part of our consumer awareness feature, Warning Wednesdays of sorts, things you need to be aware of. This time we're doing it on a Thursday because why not mix things up, right? We're going to be taking a look at the latest types of scams that have been emerging, particularly affecting individuals where it relates to your bank accounts and what can be done around that. I'm joined on the line by the lead ombudsman at the National Financial Ombuds Scheme for the lead ombudsman for the banking division specifically at the National Financial Ombuds Scheme, Narosha Mazeti, to take a look at the scams that are on the rise and why the ombud is so concerned about this. Narosha, thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start with a sense of the particular types of scams that are concerning you here, the increase or the prevalence in the behavioral patterns that are happening here.
Good evening, and thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, on our side, we are seeing an increase or a surge in a lot of scams in the digital space. Contactless payments and anti-fraud measures that banks have been taking in terms of their digital platform by introducing biometric verification has suddenly made it very difficult for criminals to transact on their victim's bank account without the victim's presence. So what we've been seeing on our side is a surge in cases where bank customers are being kidnapped and forced, often under gunpoint, to carry out certain transactions on their banking app or on their internet banking profile.
Narosha, now this obviously from a consumer perspective is extremely concerning, and we've seen this on the rise where people are not only forced to do this under duress, at some point people are kidnapped and held for a number of hours to take advantage of multiple opportunities to take money from them. Where do the banks step in? Because a lot of the banks have procedures in place. Some could have more procedures in place. Where does the relationship kind of get to the point where we say we can put this in place to protect consumers? And how do we deal with it?
Yeah, it's a very topical issue. It's a very serious issue that the industry is faced with at the moment. And Jimmy, while we sympathize with the victims of these incidents and understand that they're not to blame, because obviously when you forced at gunpoint, there's no option. You are going to disclose this confidential information. But on the same breath, unfortunately, the banks cannot be held liable for the losses that ensue. Ultimately, it is a policing issue, and our understanding is that SABRIC, the South African Police, and Crime Intelligence, including the banking industry, are putting together a joint strategy to try and tackle this new modus operandi. So in terms of where the bank steps in, I think where the bank can play a major role is in terms of creating customer awareness around this specific type of fraud that's now emerging. So customers must be aware of things that they should do and shouldn't do. In a recent press release, we highlight some of these points. Be cautious of what you're posting on social media platforms. We find that when you are posting sensitive financial information on these platforms, you suddenly draw attention to yourself and make a target. Simple things like changing your route to work or, you know, changing things up a bit, vary your daily routine, important. And because the banks are fully aware of this type of scam, we also strongly suggest that you reach out to your bank and have a discussion of how you can specifically tailor your banking needs. Our experience has been that banks can provide you with options to tailor your online banking and app experience, including limiting your exposure and risk. So those are some of the things we advise consumers or banking customers to be aware of.
While we're on the topic of the banks and what kinds of sort of scams that we're seeing, another one that's been making the rounds has been a scam that's been called the pig butchering scam. How is that different from what we're seeing with individuals being threatened versus what goes on here?
Oh, so the pig butchering scam, what goes on here is obviously under the threat of physical violence and duress, and you forced under duress to divulge that information because it's either you're going to suffer physical harm or you have to disclose this information. In terms of the pig butchering scam, which we've seen in our office over the years, it's important to note that that particular type of scam is more of a long-term scam. you know, like investment fraud, there's romantic scams, where the victim is gradually, over time, lured into making increasing contributions to an investment, usually in the form of cryptocurrency. So there, I think the fraudster first tries to build a relationship with the victim until such time that the trust is built, and then eventually at some point you'll find large amounts of money or assets stolen.
Narusha, when we look at these scams, whether it's the pig butchering, whether it's the other scams that involve the violence and the physical harm of individuals, how do we, as consumers, better protect ourselves? Are there things where we can reach out to the National Financial Ombuds Scheme for assistance, for some clarity? Obviously, we need to be doing our own research on financial businesses, and this is something we speak about on the show often, to say never send money to people where you haven't done your research. But in the case where you're being forced to do that, what remedies are out there?
A very difficult scenario when you're being forced to do so, because you're not really having a choice, as opposed to, you know, being scammed into thinking the person is from a legitimate source and then divulging your information. What I can say is that we are seeing these complaints in our offices, so we welcome the victims of this type of fraud to please approach the National Financial Ombud. The banking division will definitely look at the complaint. One of the things we look at, whilst, as I indicated earlier, we can't, the bank in terms of liability for all transactions that happened prior to reporting, very difficult to attach liability there, because remember, the bank itself, you were a victim of a crime in that instance. But the moment you report the incident to the bank, then the owner shifts to the bank to ensure that it is able to mitigate those losses. That means limit or prevent the losses. So if any funds are withdrawn after the reporting of that incident, then the liability or the focus will then shift to the bank, where we will investigate whether there's anything the bank could have done to prevent any monies that were subsequently withdrawn after the banking consumer reported the incident. So definitely please approach the NFO. We are here to look at it. We can unpack it, investigate it, and obviously come to some sort of finding.
There are methods out there, but please keep yourself safe. And if you can have a conversation with your bank to reduce your limits, to make things a little easier for you, we know it's extremely inconvenient, but rather be safer than sorry. I think we'll leave it at that, Narusha. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Narusha Mosetti, who is the lead ombudsman in the banking division at the National Financial Ombuds Scheme, joining me to take a look at the increased prevalence of violent scams that are being perpetrated against South Africans, but also what pig butchering is and how you stay away from it.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.